You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today is World Health Day, and with New Zealand approaching its colder seasons, health at this point in time is imperative. I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Kimberly O'Sullivan, a senior research fellow in the Department of Public Health at Te Whare Wānanga o Otago, Ki Ponaki University of Otago, Wellington, about the state of student flats, energy usage, and how it impacts student health. Here she is now. Could you tell me a bit about the conditions which some students are dealing with based on this recent survey that you've been a part of?
Yeah, so we found that tertiary students are more than twice as likely as the general population to be living in damp and mouldy homes. And for Māori students or students with disabilities, they were even more likely to have visible mould in their homes.
Would you say this is more so of a case in places such as Wellington and Dunedin? In fact, I did an interview last week where we were talking about the price of keeping children warm in Wellington, and I did speak to someone about how the price is quite high, and obviously the condition of these houses did play into that.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I think there are a couple of things going on here that are a bit complicated in terms of the economics. So, you know, if you live the further south you live, I guess, or in the Central Plateau perhaps as well, when you're in a colder climate region, then you need to use more heating to keep your home to a healthy temperature. So Wellington perhaps and Dunedin, you'd expect to perhaps be paying more. And there's also regional differences in the cost of electricity as well. But then on the flip side of that, it's usually cheaper to rent a place in Dunedin than it is in Wellington or, say, Auckland. So, you know, there's a wee bit of swings and roundabouts happening. But, yeah, there are some regional differences. We didn't dive too deeply into the regional differences in our survey, though. We just did a kind of nationwide scoop.
Yeah, so I guess this is really just energy hardship for students, which is definitely something, the last thing that I guess any student wants to deal with. What would you say is a good approach into reducing this? What do you think needs to be done in order to ensure that energy hardship is reduced?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things going on. We did this study at the end of 2020, over summer 2020-2021. So that was, you know, our first COVID year as well. So obviously with lockdowns, we've been having students having to stay home more often than usual. So students often will go to the library or perhaps shower at the gym, those kind of tips and tricks for keeping warm and reducing the electricity bills weren't available to many students during the lockdown period. So I think one thing that I guess was quite difficult for students was that they were the only group that was offered a loan instead of other financial support to help them cope with the cost of COVID-19. So I think that was something. Another thing I think is that we have made a lot of progress with energy efficiency standards in New Zealand, and the healthy home standards have helped, but almost all homes will still need to be using some heating to keep them to a healthy temperature. So when you've got the cost of living going up and the cost of rent going up, the income can only go so far, and most students are borrowing to live. So, you know, they really are juggling between nutritious food and enough food versus enough heating.
Now, another thing, just reading the opinion piece you've done, you did speak to some people on how the cold and the conditions of their flats or homes have had a major impact on their mental health. So I guess could you just touch on this a bit and how this is quite detrimental to students' mental health?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that kind of surprised us was the extent to which people said that being cold at home was really impacting their mental health. So I think that this is something that we really need to be starting to pay attention to, things like, you know, particularly people who had disabilities were worst affected, but saying that they were having trouble sleeping, having trouble concentrating, and having their mental health problems worse, that they feel stressed or anxious or down or depressed, these kind of things that are obviously detrimental for mental health. And I think just the constant struggle of feeling cold and not being able to put the heater on, or the struggle of feeling cold but knowing that you need to be able to afford your food is very stressful. So these things are not helpful when it comes to maintaining our mental well-being.
Now, it's funny, not funny, and it's not funny at all. it is interesting that you mention food. Reading here that a lot of students do compromise food and other necessities. Also, side note, 1 in 8 Māori students, as well as 1 in 25 students, have had their electricity disconnected or ran out of prepaid electricity credit because of their household could not afford to pay the energy bill. This would also have an effect on one's physical health, not just mental.
That's right.
So yeah, could you touch on this a bit? I'm seeing here that some people have been hospitalized with chest infections, some with pneumonia.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we know that living in a cold home and that having mold in our homes is linked to having poor respiratory health in particular, to developing asthma or having increased asthma attacks if you already have asthma, and having increased particularly respiratory infections, colds and flu, which, you know, obviously in a COVID environment is not ideal. And we have had people who have reported that they have been hospitalised, and students are not just a small group of people that go from 18 to 21. You know, there are students who have families, who have children to care for as well, and so they talk about, the students that have responded to us have talked about the effect on their children as well.
Is this an issue where possibly universities need to step in to ensure the health and well-being of their students? Again, reading here, students also had lower life satisfaction than similar age groups across Aotearoa, with only 60% of students reporting being at least 70% satisfied with their life in general, compared with about 80% of people, obviously between ages 15 and 35. You know, a situation like this would have a detrimental effect on your studies as well. Is this an issue where universities do need to step in?
Yeah, I think that, you know, certainly since I was a student back in very cold flats in Dunedin, I think progress has been made, and that, you know, the particularly Otago University and the Otago University, Otago Students Association have made particular improvements to student housing down there. I would say we've still got a fair way to go, and that we were surprised at the extent to which students are still suffering.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.